Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Meta. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me this week, we have a very special guest, one Jake Van Meter. Hello, Jake.
Hello, Jay.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's another day in paradise.
I'm pretty sure that Brian would think that Boston is a paradise, so good for you.
Everything but the traffic.
Okay, so for those who have been living under a rock, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Jake Van Meter. I've been playing War Machine and Horde since the release of Hordes back in April 2006, and I've been playing Legion of Everblight exclusively at convention scene since I started my convention tournament scene back in 2008. That's about it.
Okay, and I've heard you've had at least some small modicum of success since
yes.
then.
Yes, I have. I have won a few tournaments before. Yes.
Okay. So let's go ahead and jump in then. So real quick, I'll go over the format of what we're gonna do. So we'll talk to each other for about 45, 50 minutes in this first episode, and the first episode will focus on questions from the people who back us on Patreon at our $2 backer level, and then we'll continue the conversation in the bonus episode that will be another 45 or 50 minutes, and the Patreon people who support us on Patreon will get a listen to that bonus episode. So, first question from Goek. He says, why is your hair so great?
I don't know. It's because I bathe in children's blood. That must be it. And so she's looking at me. She's looking at me really weird.
That seems a little extreme.
It might be, but that's the only thing I can think of at the moment.
So his next question is, how do I get my significant other to run events?
Have her. Does she? If she loves you, she'll run your events for you. But no, that's not the real. That's not the real case. No, it's if they enjoy playing the game and enjoy the community, people will tend to go out of their way more to try to build the community and play more games, get the games going, run events, keep interest. That's what Zosha does. And because she likes organizing things and making things run smoothly. She's looking at me.
Zosha's obviously kind of a one of a kind, so I'm not sure how much that can carry over, but it is awesome that she does so much for the community. So, next question. Joji, Kallus 1 was the meta for Legion for the better part of the year. Is that still the case, or are there other warlocks that are compelling you?
Well, Kallus is one of those warlocks that people shifted the meta to play into because he was a problem at the time when Legion was really starting to crutch on him. And now that, from what I see, people are still playing him on the convention scene because he is just that well-rounded and that strong in scenario play, just running models forward, beating, and kind of just, again, it's a defensive feat. So you use the feat, and it makes other players have to kind of get around your feat, whereas other warlocks in our faction, we don't really have many warlocks that have defensive feats. We have Kallus, Saren, and Fianna, too, I want to say, are defensive feats. Veil 1, kind of, but to answer the question, sorry, I just derailed huge. You can still play Kallus 1 right now. I feel like he's still very strong. He's pretty well-rounded, has specific matchups that are hard for him, but if you were to pick other warlocks that could currently be played, I know there was an event in the UK where Saren won the Invitational qualifier, I think, and also Charles Arrowsmith Omnis has also been running Saren into ranged heavy lists where Legion has been struggling. I feel like that is a good adjustment to make at this time. So I would start playing Saren 1 with one other warlock. You can do Kallus 1. You can do like Abby 2. Abby 2 Saren 1 would be really good. Something like that.
Are there any... What have you personally been looking at playing?
Oh, I've been playing a lot of Veil 1 right now. I've been just trying to hone in on one list right now, and I'll get my second list done in a little bit, but I've been playing a lot of Veil 1 and Ravens, hoping to do some weird tech and shenanigans and just play with a caster that a lot of people haven't seen in a long time.
Man, that's definitely some old school. She was definitely one of the casters that I like, and granted, like in Mark 1 and I guess even part of Mark 2, she was pretty abusive.
She was very strong, to say the least.
Yeah. But it's cool to potentially see her making a comeback.
I mean, it's funny too, because so the big loss to her was the loss of Rampager. People were just getting touched in the wrong way from Rampager. So
right.
I don't feel like that was the most abusive part of her spell list or her card. Personally, I feel like they hit it on the nose with making it so that she doesn't move with her feet.
Yeah.
Just makes her have to play a little bit more reserved, or if you're going to be very aggressive, you have to move up and actually take the space, and you have to keep the space and keep your caster protected. Whereas before, you just go up feet and it's a free round of killing anything you wanted to, and then you move away. But I do understand why Rampager was so strong. You can just pretty much, in conjunction with her feet, just grab a heavy without any reprisal, and that was a big issue for a lot of people. I feel like there are still other casters who, like Doomy, one still has Rampager. He has access to Mulga's and Arcanode. I know people are going to say, oh, it's so expensive, but you can still utilize Mulga's and Arcanode, use your feet, stone him up, stone arm him up. He's armor like 21, and you're taking D6 damage every time you force. Like, you can still trade with that. You have the Cephalix guy who has that, or who is Rampager for no reason.
Right.
It makes me upset.
I'm not jealous.
I'm not jealous at all. They could have at least given her one more spell on her spell card, though. Insight going up one kind of hurt, but you can play around it if you know what you're doing.
Yeah. What do you see as Legion's sweet spot in the Season 11 ADR?
Ooh. So I'm going to be playing Veil 1. I'm very excited about that. And then the other list can be... So Lil 2, like everybody wants to play this list with like a range list, because we don't have a really good, like awesome range list. You can play like Lil 3, try to go for the assassination, but we don't have the ranged output we used to have from Mark 2 with like Lil 2 and Snipe, basically Snipe you go type thing, because she didn't cycle Snipe, but she had it as her feet. But Lil 2 is in such a bad place. Everybody would mostly, I hope, agree with that. Anybody who doesn't agree with that is just Lil 2 is their unique snowflake of a caster, and they just enjoy playing them and don't think there's anything wrong with her. But you can play Veil 1. You can try a Lil 2. Lil 2 presents a ranged question in your pair. You can do Abby 1. Abby 1's really good. You can run her in a diverse battle group in Ravens with Golab. You can do Oracles with, I guess, 3 Gargantuans, kind of the list I was running. That's I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun and asks specific questions. And I always forget who's the third or the fourth caster in ADR. I'm going to guess. I'm not even going to look.
Give me 1 second and I can tell you.
Don't tell me. I'm going to guess.
Well, you can guess, but I'll find out for sure to inform you how you're wrong.
It is going to be Ryas 1.
Okay, so your lineup is Veil, Absalonia 1, Lilith 2, and Fiona.
Lilith 2 and Fiona. Okay. Damn it. I mean, Fiona's always a good answer, or a good warlock. She's just pretty... When you play Fiona, you know exactly what you're going to do with her. You're typically going to take flying bees. They're not going to be able to be knocked down. You use your feet. It's very obviously a defensive feat, which is something you want in your staple of casters. And while I feel like the meta can solve high defense right now, I do feel like there are still plenty of lists that really can't answer the high defense all the time. But while most of the people will kind of just shit all over her feet, I still feel like it is very good when it's actually on the table in games.
Yeah, that is fair. So next question that we have is from one James Morehouse. You two would have quite the hair off. I'm not sure who uses more baby blood as their product, but he says, what are your top 3 wish list items to address Legion's somewhat stagnant faction identity?
Caster rework on Bethane, or just actually like a pool of reworks on different casters, small modifications, but I can't just name them all. So you have 2 ways you can go with the Warbeast. You can either increase their stats and abilities for their hefty point cost, make them actually elite beasts, or you can just make them cheap as shit and reduce their point cost and maybe alter some of their abilities based on that. That would be my first thing, is that the War Beast, which Legion was kind of built around from Mark 1 and Mark 2, going to Mark 3, they lost that identity because they were trying to push all the NIS models on you. The NIS models, there were only certain models that were pretty much taken before, and in this edition, it remains the same. You have Raptors, Hex Hunters, and, well, you have Striders now, which are really good, but the Legionnaires are not worth taking. They're too expensive. Swordsmen, no Pathfinder, pretty expensive. They die pretty easy. And now you take Hellmouths. So it kind of remains the same from Mark 2 to Mark 3. You still take the same models that you did before, but now they're more expensive. So I would like a rework to the majority of the NIST models to make them worth taking, I guess.
Okay. So next question is from Combat. He says, how can we tell the difference between you and Ben Beckman?
One of us probably speaks very good German, or speaks German well, and the other person does not.
Okay. That sounds likely correct, yes. he says, more serious. How do you see Legion in the current meta? What are the strengths/weaknesses?
Well, your strengths are that you put them on the table and you get to lose turn two and go get food. That's the strength.
Oh!
Normally the strengths, they used to be that we have glass cannon models that have very great threat ranges and threat projection, and you're able to stay relatively safe while taking and peace trading models. Now, depending on what you're doing and the list build, you can still do that, but you have to do it with nerfs mainly. Nerfs and Golab. Golab's appropriately costed. I completely forgot the question already. I'm so good.
How do you see Legion in the current meta? What strengths and weaknesses?
So our strengths right now are, our strengths are that people aren't really scared of Legion, believe it or not. And that's actually a serious thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And what that means is that Legion is no longer the boogeyman. Because Legion is not the boogeyman, and because right now people can innovate and build new lists, people aren't really gearing up to play against you unless you're playing Kallus. Like, if you go away from Kallus, which a lot of people have, or at least I've seen a lot of people move away from Kallus, now you don't have to worry about it. People aren't making a list tech to beat you anymore. You might just fall in the line of fire of a specific matchup anyway, but it's definitely better that you are no longer basically being teched for. So I feel like that's a big strength right now. And then the difference between Ben Beckman and myself is that Ben Beckman wins War Machine Weekend. A big difference.
Okay, so he had some follow-up questions as well. He says, there are currently a few people with some success, with Norway Munin having a Legion player, Tom being a runner-up in Australia, and Legion winning the UK Invitational. Are Legion just underrated, or was it just a dark horse factor?
So we'll talk. Let's talk about WTC and Norway Munin's list. So the WTC is definitely a beast of its own in that Legion has very specific weaknesses, and in that format, depending on how you are trying to line up your matchups, you can definitely avoid those weaknesses. So I feel like WTC format is like very, very strong for Legion. That being said, though, the lists that were taken, Abbey 2 and I forget, what was the other list? Was it Animag? No, that Norway took. It was, I think he played Abbey 2 every round. He might have played. I think he took Kallus 1. He took Kallus 1, played it one round. That's what it was. So he took Kallus 1 and Abbey 2, both very good lists, very good casters, and he basically dropped Abbey 2 almost every single game and just had generally good matchups, I felt, overall. He had an answer to Harby. Like, that list is pretty good into Harby. It's good into Clocks. Just a very well-devised list to play against those. And in that format, if you can get the list that want to get certain lists or have them fall into a certain bracket of lists, you're just going to be in a good spot. That and all the players there are awesome, obviously. The next is, so Tom's lists are very funny. So I was, I built a Veil 2 list a long time ago, and then Tom and I were talking about it, and he actually took that list to test out at Australia's tournament that he got second in. And then we were also trying to build or modify a Thags 2 list with the Bloodseer to kind of hold the space and take zones and have to basically have you trade down in order to get them and acquire them. I feel like those are, at least the Thags 2 list was a specific skew list. Does it have merit? I think it's good. I think it has play into a lot of different lists. Is it something that I would go and grab as one of my main two lists I'm going to play for like a con season? Probably not. I'd probably take it to one or two tournaments or cons at when people wouldn't expect them, and then I would drop it for a different list. That's kind of like a transition list. You play it in transition while you're trying to find other lists because other people, maybe in the middle of the season, aren't ready for that type of list yet.
Mm-hmm.
The Veil 2 list, was just built upon trying to utilize all the tools available to like Veil 2 with ranged and magic, kind of altering like damage, magic buffing to just try to assassinate casters and kill solos and hold specific areas of the board with Hellmouth. Alexa's talking to us. But the Veil 2 list was, it was okay. I've also played it at a few tournaments, and Tom and I came to the same conclusion that the Carnivians in the list that we had in there aren't really worth their point value, so we have to modify that a little bit more to get better models in there.
Mm.
So that list has been altered. And then I think...
It seemed like Tom talked a little bit after after that Australian convention, where he's like, yeah, my Legion seems kind of... middle of the road right now.
He's not wrong. Like everything that he put in that post is correct. Like Legion, unfortunately, was this faction that hurt so many people emotionally in Mark 2 that everybody just hated them. And going into Mark 3 or 3rd edition or new edition, whatever you want to call it, they tried to appease the masses without trying to piss off the tons and tons of Legion players that were still playing the game. Unfortunately, that didn't work, and they just overly nerfed Legion. And even through the CIDs, again, I feel like Legion CID was one of the worst CIDs, had the least amount of changes, and most of the time people, the players playing Legion that were doing battle reports and giving feedback, were trying to like justify keeping models like the Hellmouth as they were, because Hellmouths are fair and balanced, and that we couldn't get any traction anywhere else with any other models. We didn't have that many legacy models tossed in, Warmonger, War Spears. The War Spears didn't get any changes, which they should have had changes. They only got nerfed going into Mark III with less life. Warmongers were cheaper. There's no reason to take War Spears. Archangel was 37 points, went down to 36 points at the end of the CID. For some reason, they believed that that model was still worth 37 points. And then two CIDs later, Circles, Storm Raptor came out. Makes you wonder.
Yeah, I mean, it does... I definitely can empathize with Legion players where, I mean, I played a fair bit of Legion in Mark II, and, you know, it was nowhere near as much as you, but there was a string there where I played it for quite a while, and definitely part of it, the reason why I played Legion and what I considered their faction identity was definitely very different in Mark II versus what it was in Mark III. And I think that there's a lot of players that were fairly unhappy with that change, which I can't really blame them for that per se. I mean, when you've fallen in love with a faction for a certain playstyle, and then that's no longer there, that is a difficult thing. So, you know, I guess it is what it is. But do you feel like how has it felt to you? As I guess, do you think that that's an accurate or fair assessment?
Which part?
Kind of the faction identity for Legion changed from Mark II and Mark III.
It went from a beast heavy glass cannon faction to more of a combined arms faction, where we no longer have the beasts outside of nerves that can effectively piece trade. You always trade down, so now it's more about your positioning. Like the Carnivian based heavies, they lost the speed, so they're not even really that fast anymore. So before, you were a first strike faction based around your alpha strike ability, and with your significant ranged output, and all that has been kind of taken back a little bit with the amount of shield guards that they put in the game and the amount of terrain that's in the middle of the table now, and Ilocyte being nerfed from what it was before, which was completely fine. Like, I 100% agree with that nerf. I'm all about having a balanced game and a balanced faction, as long as the models that I have to take are actually balanced. But they are not.
but they exist in the same world with clockatrices.
Yep. But I'm sitting here, you know, sitting at my desk waiting for that dynamic update by the end of the month. Hopefully it pushes out so I can start making other lists and testing other models. I'm hoping for significant changes for Legion, at least a few, like point reduction in models, maybe a few ability rework. Like, if I had to pick the three warlocks that need the most significant rework, I know a lot. So everybody's going towards Saren right now because she has a +3 armor static feat bonus that basically gives you the armor against range attack, which you are significantly lacking. Legion has really no defense against range outside of hide defense and hiding behind forest and cover and some casters with occultation. I never liked the plus three armor feat. I feel like there are other abilities you could give different casters to help against the range game specifically. I feel like Saren could be that. You can give her deceleration, some other things to help. Lil 2 needs a complete rework, and Bethane obviously needs a complete rework. She's crap. Actual crap.
Yeah, and it sounds at least like they're looking at doing something with Bethane, and so that would be nice.
She's a really awesome concept. Like, that caster is is very unique, and I can see her in the current environment with her old feat being kind of ridiculous with Thrones, where you got the Wizard attack and damage rolls on magic attacks. That was your feat. And you Animus cost reduced by one or something like that. Might be a little too good right now. And then she would be 100% like the Double Thrones caster, which would be kind of boring with list design.
Do you, since you just said the word Thrones, have you been seeing much play with your Thrones lately?
I have not been playing them. I go through spurts. Like last year, I played them with Lilith 1 with like an Archangel, Croak Raiders, and Double Thrones. And I like that list a lot. It's really good. And I feel like it still has play into the current meta that's out there. I just don't like playing one list for too long. Like Kallus 1 was like the list I played the longest out of any list ever. I'm absolutely sick of them.
So this question is, was just texted to me from one Zosia Simpson. And
oh, really?
She says, she says, if Legion is very strong at the WTC, and that's a strong format, how can you explain your record at the WTC?
So one was a very good game.
The difficult questions coming from Zosia. Although I will say she loves teasing you, so.
one was a bottom of seven scenario loss to Tomas. He got his revenge on me. That was a very good game. I liked that game. It went back and forth, made some play errors during the game, but I was not able to pull it out. I lost bottom of seven again to Ben Beckman, where I failed to kill a Trident early on with a Nerf, Fury Nerf. And it was slightly under average that I killed the Trident with a Fury Nerf. Uh-huh. But the following turn as well, I could get Seraph shots into it and one Bird Charge follow-up. And that didn't kill it either. And after the Nerf went in, it was on 3-5 life, something like that, and the Nerf missed his charge attack. So if I ended up killing that Trident the turn that I did, or that I was committing to it, he probably would lose the left side of the board, and I could tick up scenario faster, because I gave up the right side of the board for the left side of the board, and then once I wasn't able to solidify my position in the left side of the board, because that Trident lived for 2 to 3 more turns than it should have, I lost my scenario advantage, and I lost that game on bottom of seven. That Trident also did probably an additional 30 to 35 points of damage to my army because I didn't kill it. Shows you how good they are.
I hear they're okay. Yeah.
Completely fair models. And then I got top-a-tued by Ron because Ron does things. Basically, he ran up, and then he was like, have you played against Ron in a while? And I was like, no, I'm going to move out of my deployment zone. He's like, I'm going to kill you. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's what Ron does. Thanks for giving me a deep dicking. I 100% deserve that loss. I was salty, but I deserve that loss 100%.
Okay. There are a lot of ways I could go with that, but we'll just move on. So Hesse says, do you feel like the only available Archon in Legion offers the faction anything significant?
It has some interesting play with maybe Abby Wan and maybe Saren, which is what the winner of the UK Invitational event ran in his list. He had Terry had two of them in the list with Saren, and I think he was just going for like high armor, a counter charging, shadow bind, knockdown with a Blightbringer, Blightbringer to prevent you from standing up and forcing. It's good interactions, and like that's okay. But outside of those two models, you're basically just taking this super solo who's just trying to control board space and the hold zones. And I feel like most people feel they have to take it in order to compete in a world where Archons are around now. Just because for 8 points, that thing has 18 life. Like that's a lot for 8 points for a solo. So I feel like people feel in Legion like they have to take it in order to to combat the amount of other 8-point solos with a lot of life in the game. I feel like Legion has the tools to actually deal with a lot of the Archons more than other factions.
Why do you say that is?
Because we do have decent range output. We have casters like level 3, who I don't personally like playing, but a feat where you can stationary Archons is pretty good, I think. And you just have, you do have a lot of models that have decent threat ranges that can buff up your mat. Like Abby 2 is really good. Everybody knows Abby 2 is really good. She's just she's the consistent go smash your face warlock. She does what she does very well. She runs up the field and pressures the board and waits for you to just move in her threat range, misposition, and then you lose half your army. If not, just die. That's what Abby 2 does. She just waits for you to make players, which is kind of to Legion's strength. What else? There was, like, Mennonite Archons are busted bullshit. We know that.
I mean, most of the Archons are pretty sweet. At least most of the War Machine Archons are pretty sweet.
the question is if Legion gets an Archon, which I keep on hearing rumors about, maybe, hopefully it'll be, you know, 8 points and not 12, and maybe have, I don't know, some synergy and just be decent.
That'd be interesting if Legion actually ended up getting an Archon.
I think it would. I just hate seeing meta shifts where, like, everybody's running Archons right now. It's like everybody's running two Archons in every list. It's just like when, because you know when somebody's running the max FA of a model, it's because for its point cost, for what it's doing, and just the effect it has on the board state or the game, it is better than other options. And that kind of reduces your list diversity. Like example of that being Rhett, where when's the last time you saw a Rhett list without double trident? Like stuff like that. And you want that to be a viable option and be a good option, but you don't want two of them to be in the majority of all your lists. I feel like that's when you're asking if this model is balanced compared to other options.
I mean, so granted, this isn't a perfect comparison since we've had edition changes and stuff like that since then. But another, I guess, like a counterpoint to that would be, for example, when Colossals came out, we saw a lot of Colossals. We saw double Colossals in some lists. And even before the edition change, and before they really had much in the way of rule changes, you kind of started to see them lose popularity or not be taken as frequently. And, you know, there's a part of me that wonders if that's going to be how things are with this, or if, you know, they're just all really strong and we're going to see them for a long time.
I mean, look at the Thamorite Archons. Those guys are, the only downside to that model is that it has D3 shots, which is awful. I feel like that model could have 2 shots and it'd be fine. I like to see that model with just 2 shots. But like they surf the board, they find a position, they sit there, those models just sit there, harass you, get point value back, if you're bunched up, they kill multiple models. They remove essence off models too, right?
I'd have to look again. I'm not positive.
Essence or souls, one of the two. But yeah, like those models are really good. They take up space, they hold, they're defense 16, armor 17. Like, holy shit. With dodge. With dodge. Why?
Okay. It's fine.
I guess what I'm saying is that when you have models like that running around the table, and like look at Mennonite Archons again, they're 8 points, they have 15 life, they're base 13 defense with Ashen Veil, their armor 19 go up to 21. Like, you take two of those for 16 points, they have 30 life, signs of importance. They're definitely better than a 16 point jack. Hell, you could even argue that one of them is almost better than a 16 point jack.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much I can say about that to refute you. I'm looking forward to playing them. So, you know, I'm the, I guess the wrong person to ask on this question.
I mean, Void Archons are amazing. Morrowind Archons are good. Like, whenever I look at a Morrowind Archon, I'm not like, man, this model is busted. I'm like, this is a very well-rounded model. Like, it's a good model for its point cost. Void Archons are ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I can say that, the Void Archon has been the top-selling Archon so far. Granted, some of that is that there's been there's just more factions that can take it as compared to some of the other ones, and so other than maybe like the Primal, but people haven't been very excited about the Primal.
The Primal is it's a weird model.
And why do you say that?
Just it just has low damage capabilities with the trade-off of just being a little bit more durable and controlling. And I feel like currently people aren't wanting that in the game. They want more offense.
So the next question, this actually is a little bit of a callback to what we're already talking about. But so Hesse actually took a screenshot and wanted you to basically give some comments on the things that Tom said after playing at the Super Series. And so these are the points that Tom made, and then I guess he wants your hot takes on each one of these points, on if you agree with them or where you might disagree or anything.
Okay.
So point number one, heavies are overall one defense and armor mat pow too low, while 2 points too expensive.
I mean, that is a spot on. Like Scythians could be 15 points. They could be defense 12. If they're like 11, 18 is such a shit stat line. Like it is very bad, especially on a heavy that doesn't have an ability to buff its defense or armor. So like the Scythians 11, 18 should have Carapace, at least 15 points of Carapace to start. The Ravagor, and I always talk about this when I talk about the Ravagor. The Ravagor is one of two mat 5 war beasts in the game. I would say mat 5 heavies, but I think there's a mat 5 heavy warjack somewhere. It's between him, he's 16 points, and a blind walker, and that guy's a 10-point arc node. That's a 10-20 with 30 life or some shit with shield guard. Arguably better, depending on how you look at it. He could be mat and rad 6 and also be 15 points, and I think he'd be fine. The Carnivian at 18 points, he should be maybe at most 17. He should probably be 16 points. Again, the problem with Legion, that Legion pays a tax for basically Pathfinder on every model and Isle of Sight. That's just kind of where we get the short end of the stick. Yet, Typhon is 20 points and he doesn't have Pathfinder for some reason. Couldn't tell you why.
Fluff. I mean, that is, as much as we don't want it to be the reason, I'm pretty sure that is the actual reason why it ended up that way.
I don't remember reading the fluff where he was like, man, I was running through the forest and tripped over a log.
Okay, well, so the next point is, he says, sorry, one second. So number two, the blightedness units need an overhaul.
So there are, again, people take mainly three units, I want to say. They take Hex Hunters, Raptors, Ice Witches. Are the three main units that are NIS based. Other units that are taken a lot are Striders and Hellmouths. I say those are the five core units that most Legion players will take. But overall, let's go through them really quick. I can even pull up my war room and have an adventure. Black Frost Shard, 9-point unit for three dudes who it's arguable that they'll even make 9 points back. When in the universe where Brig and Call exist, this unit's way overcosted. Next, Blightedness Archers, 8-13. I understand that they're a ranged unit and you pay points for a ranged premium in the game, but these guys aren't putting out a ranged premium amount of anything. They're very flimsy. They die very easy. In order for them to get two shots, they got to all be within 2 inches of the ammo porter. Like, what is that? What is that even? It's so garbage. They should have, if they have the ammo porter, they should at least have reposition 3, at least, so that they can move up, shoot, and then move away from him. Because my God, every time I play this model, these models, what ends up happening, without a doubt, is that the turn that I go up and try to do work with them and get all the shots I can, there's just one AoE that hit that guy, and then my whole unit's basically dead. So it's just poor design. Let's go. So Hex Hunters are great. Legionnaires, they got basically super, super nerfed after Mark II because they were constantly taken in Machinations of Shadows with Veil 2 because they were a cheap option that fed the pot while gaining value because they were cheap models that just made attacks. They're 8-13 right now. Honestly, they could be 7-11. They could be 7-11. And if you want to keep them 8-13, you can make them unique by giving them, maybe with Phalar or whatever that guy's name is, give them a once per game mini feat shield guard, something like that. That would make them see play because Legion's weaknesses to a lot of range lists. Scather Crew needs Repo 3. It needs a little bit more size on its AoE since all these other models now have AoE 4. And the Scather is good. But now that the Scather basically affects our models too, I think. I'm going to reread it again. Models. Before it was enemy models. Now, any model. So if you shoot it first and you put it in the wrong place, your own models can't move through it anymore, which is pretty bad. You can also just make it maybe poison. And for some reason, the Legion has poison on everything and doesn't have Weapon Master or doesn't have corrosion or whatever, erosion. I would like to see it maybe have erosion so you can play against War Machine models and undead models and just do more damage to constructs or undead models. Blade and his Swordsman need access to Pathfinder or give them Blade Shield or something like that with the UA. War Spears are overcosted for what they do. Rotwings and Chosen went through CID, so we all know they're good. Banshees and Raiders, they can go back up to defense 13. There's no reason for them not to be 13. Hellmouths are fair and balanced, as we said. Spawning Vessel, the reason why the Spawning Vessel is not taken as much anymore or taken in rare circumstances is because the lessers are all pretty much corner case. The Stinger isn't good anymore. The Shredder is the best one. I feel like they actually made the Shredder better from Mark 2 to Mark 3 for overall damage output. So if you're taking a Spawning Vessel, unless you need a Harrier to run a contest, pretty much just taking Shredders out of the Spawning Vessel. Harrier's losing Sprint was kind of annoying, losing True Strike. Sure, I get it. True Strike was really good. But that's the reason why you don't see Spawning Vessels anymore. It's because the lessers aren't really worth creating most of the time. Blight Blades are a good concept, but if you look at all the other units in the game that have their rules and abilities, like what they do, like Stealth, Ambush, most of them have Gang, most of them have Prey, most of them have other abilities. These guys don't have Gang, they just have CMA and they're mat 6. Like, Murder Crows are amazing for their point cost and what they do, and they make these guys look like shit. Like, these guys could have Gang, and it could have a very specific role in that you give them... they always just have Grievous Wounds. They don't have Prey, they have Ambush, they have Gang, and they have Grievous Wounds on hit. I think that would be a very good spot for them, and they would see play a lot just for that. Strider Scouts are great. So 65-70% of these models need to be changed.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. And then they spoiled Scythe coming out for Riot Quest, and I was super excited because I thought it was going to be a character Death Stalker. Oh boy, was I wrong. Not only is it not a character Deathstalker, but it's better than Deathstalkers, and it's better than Kralix. Because it doesn't have poison, it just has Weapon Master.
Right, yeah.
Holy shit.
I mean, it seems fine, right?
Sure. I'm not salty.
Are you, is there anything related to Riot Quest that has had you excited?
No. I mean, Flub Gub, whatever that guy's name is, I think he's cute, and he has very stupid, like, interactions. Just on, I like the model. I feel like what he offers to a list for 4 points is actually pretty decent. He threatens pretty far, can maybe scalp out a solo here or there, reposition away, and I like that. I think that model will see play, or at least I will make him see play when I play. But outside of that model, no. Maybe Mechano Shredder when it comes out, maybe he'll be good. Hopefully.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting how it does seem like the Riot Quest releases have definitely impacted certain factions more than others.
You mean like mercenaries?
That would be one example, yeah.
Since everyone that comes out is another mercenary model for the most part.
Yeah.
Mercenary players, it's like Christmas every fucking month for them, I swear to God. It's like, oh, more Riot Quest. Oh, look at this other faction that's getting convergence models. By the way, they're also mercenaries for some reason. Do you want to have Gatsby 4? Here, you can have Gatsby 4 too. Why not? I'm not bitter.
I don't think that's true. We'll stop there and continue getting your hot takes on the rest of these points in the bonus episode. So Jake, thank you very much for joining us this episode. You've been awesome.
Thanks for having me. I always enjoy ranting about stuff.
And thank you to the people who back us on Patreon. You guys are awesome. And if you're not backing us yet, you can do so and get to hear awesome stuff like hearing Jake rant more. As always, we appreciate it when you support Discount Games Inc. and Muse on Minis. Discount Games Inc. is selling you awesome stuff cheap, and Muse on Minis is making awesome stuff cheap. A quick side note, I recently quit Facebook and deleted my account, and it had the unintended side effect of deleting the Discount Games Inc. Facebook page as well. So that's been recreated under Brian, and so go there and give a like, and you'll see news about awesome stuff coming out through Discount Games Inc. So thank you everyone for listening, and Jake, I'll be talking to you here in a moment in the bonus episode.
Ooh.